Last week, I taught from the first chapter of Colossians, and only 14 verses, so, but there's a prayer in the middle of that chapter that we covered and talked about being qualified, which was a really strong thing. Anyway, I have put at the Welcome Center just a little outline, five examples of what we prayed last week, just bullet points, sentences, so you don't have to read the whole verse. You can just take what I've written out there. And so Charles actually has something he wants to share from that passage of Scripture that he heard.
Good morning. Happy Fourth. The Lord this past week gave a word to me, and he reminded me, when I was in my early 20s, I traveled in several nations outside the United States. I had the blessing of being able to travel freely, and partly because my father worked for TWA and the airfare was free, so to explain, I was not military, I was a lonely soul wandering the earth by myself. But anyway, one of the first rules I had when traveling outside of the country was always know where my passport was. And I always kept it in my left rear pocket, always knew, you know, be available to pull it out if you had to show it. And in your passport was your name, address, the country of which you were a citizen of. And sometimes there were stamps inside that passport from crossing borders. That passport allowed you into other nations, and it kept you out of some nations. And it also, it allowed you to come back home. So that was an important document. Well, when John was graciously sharing from Colossians, first chapter, verses 9 through 14, and he got to the last two verses, and the Lord gave me a picture or a vision. And it was, these are the two verses, 13 and 14. It says, He, God, delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, you have a new passport. You have a new passport. It says, delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred to the kingdom of his beloved Son. And I thought, while we were taking communion, I thought that's an important thing to know, that we've been transferred. And inside this new passport, there's two stamps, at least. One says redeemed, and the other says forgiven. Always know where your passport is.
That's good, Charles, thank you. You know, when you get transferred out of one place to another place, you know, if you were working in Kansas City and you got transferred to New York City, you know, and you had to learn how to play stickball and a whole bunch of stuff. You have to like the Yankees. So people talk different. They do different things when you get transferred from one place to another. So it shouldn't shock you that maybe you get some new language and maybe you get some new behaviors and that kind of thing. That's proof of you being transferred. So anyway, I will spend the whole time on that if I don't quit. So I'm now doing you a favor and quitting doing that. We're going to do a lot of stuff today. Oftentimes when people visit me, they say, do you preach the Bible? And I said, it's all I got. I mean, it's the only thing I know. Yes. I usually don't preach headlines and that kind of thing. And it doesn't mean that someone is bad if they did. It's just this is better. That's all. And so I'm going to take you 16 places today if I can get started real quick. So you'll feel like you've really been through the Scriptures today. We're going to go to 16 different places. I've entitled what we're talking about is God calling. And if you have an outline, I'm the quotes that I put on your outline are all going to be worked in. You're going to read them again. I just put them there so you could come back to them. So I'm not going to read those to you today. I'm going to start with the scriptures. But so being called is a personal thing. It's a personal call. It's not so much to a thing, but it's to and unto a person. Ephesians chapter 4, the first four verses. Therefore, I, prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. So Paul is presupposing that you already know you're called. He says, I want you to walk in the calling that you've received. So becoming a Christian is proof of the calling. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance for one another. Let me read that again. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another. Wow. This is like off the record, okay? Anybody ever been in a church conflict? Or a church split? Where was the humility and the gentleness and the forbearance and patience with one another? Right? Did you see that? He's saying when you show those things, you're walking out the calling that you have. And people can't function in the calling for all of the yelling. That's free. But it's not, that's not on your outline. But that has to be avoided. And if we're really going to take it seriously and walk in a manner worthy of his calling, then it's proved out in humility and gentleness and patience, showing forbearance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I won't stop there, but when people talk about unity, there is a unity. We're supposed to preserve what he's given, not create something that doesn't exist. Hello? That's really good. It helps so much in wanting to be one with each other. There is a oneness already there, and we're supposed to preserve it. There is one body, one spirit, just as also as you were called in one hope of your calling. Well, what's that? Well, we'll get to that more. But there's one hope of your calling, and that calling has already been given. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. To this end also we pray for you always that God will count you worthy of your calling. This is Paul writing again, and he is pre-understanding for them that they have already been called. You see that? To fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power. Oftentimes, when I have time in a baptismal service, I will pray this verse over people, that the work of faith with power, so that the name of Jesus will be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So there's a calling, and part of that calling is into friendship, fellowship with the Lord Jesus. And he's saying, you have been called into this connection. So this is a calling that is really unto salvation, but it's unto a person, and it's unto a person before it's ever unto a place. Okay? Because sometimes, well, I'm called, you know, to Zambia. Good. But if you're not called to the Lord first, you'll do a lousy job and have to come back. Right? You hear the horrible statistics of, there are like 12,000 pastors leaving the ministry every month in the United States. But it's not hard, so they're just lazy. No, 12,000 people, but some of them are getting out because they weren't ever called in. And if you're not called to do this, you're an idiot if you do it. Idiot, that's a Latin word for stupid. Just saying. But if you are called, there's nothing else or anything better. So you have to understand that He is giving us a call to himself. Romans 1:6 says, he's talking to the church. He said, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. So there's an identity there. We are the called to Jesus. We are the called of Jesus. So when you say, well, I don't get being called. Well, get that. I'm called to him. I'm called of him. Which I'll explain it more as I read more. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and don't be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ if you do this. You are seeking to be justified by the law, and you've fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus there is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. None of it means anything but faith working through love. Get to the rest of it. You are running well, so who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. So if you get into legalism or trying to keep all the old Jewish laws, the Lord says, who's pulling you? Who's calling you to do this? Paul says it pretty clear. He says, this did not come from him who calls you. So my question would be, what's persuading you that didn't come from him? And there's lots of stuff out there. So somebody's always got a new discovery that takes away from or adds to what Jesus did. And, you know, you don't ever try to be more spiritual than God. You are not called to that. So things get added to or things get deleted from because you're elite or because you've found the secret, you know. Well, no, the secret has found you. I mean, that's the reality. So don't put up with that stuff. And a lot of people, I'll just put it this way, it's so much easier. I can't use my right arm too much, darn it, really. My left hand doesn't work near as good as right arm right one, but it's just so much easier to obey rules than to have a relationship. And we are called into a relationship, not to keep a whole bunch of rules. Now, you may do things and walk uprightly in ways and it may look like you're obeying a whole bunch of stuff, but, you know, you're connected to the one who's the obeyer, right? And so, you know, the fact that you don't smoke and drink and chew and don't hang out with those that do, you know, all that stuff, that's not counting for anything. What I don't do does not empower me very much. And unless he's saying, don't do it. And what he usually says is, do this instead. And it's the instead that'll keep you steady. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. After you have suffered for a little while, oh, come on. I don't want to suffer for a little while. Just get shingles, it'll help you. I got a witness. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you into his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Amen. That's himself. Why? Because you're called unto him. This is a connection. It's a relationship. Now, some people would read that and say, well, why would he let me suffer for a little while? Because he's already said, in this world you will find trouble. You will find tribulation. And suffering for a little while is nothing compared to the Lord himself establishing you, completing you. That's what perfecting means, is to complete. So the Lord is himself will perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. If you're going through any kind of trouble, like if you're human and on the earth, I guess is what I'm saying. That's closer, isn't it? But when you find yourself a human on the earth, going through some kind of difficulty, This is a great verse to remind yourself of, that he is, this may happen for a little while, but God's going to get involved personally. I mean, like intentionally. And he will confirm, prove to you that you're called to him and he's your father. Strengthen, establish, perfect you. That's a great verse. It's not a great verse to have to use. It's a great verse to be able to use. It's a personal call. It genuinely is. 1 John 3, verse 1 through 3. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called the children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it didn't know him. Beloved, now know that we are the children of God, and that it's not yet appeared as yet what we will be. But we know that when he appears, we'll be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself as he is pure. Called to be a child of God. I don't know about you, but if you have children, you have claim on them, and they have claim on you your whole life. Like your whole life. Some of you are nodding very understandably. You know, sometimes you don't want to get rid of them at all, and sometimes you can't get rid of them at all. That's not in the book. I'm just I'm prophesying here. Hebrews 3:1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling. Holy brethren. That's us he's talking to. And we're partakers, we're receivers of a heavenly calling. So it's important, it matters. Consider the apostle and the high priest of our confession. He's saying, when you're having a difficulty, if you don't feel like you're called, go back and look at the one who called you. That's what he's saying. Philippians 3, 13 and 14, you know these verses probably. Brothers, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. So anybody that thinks they've got it, run away from them as fast as you can. I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I love that. There's an upward call. That's a personal hotline type of a thing, but there's an upward call that Paul talks about. So it's a personal call. Oz Guinness says this. Oz Guinness is one of my favorite writers, by the way. If you find something by his, just read it. Calling is not only a matter of being and doing what we are, but also of becoming what we are not yet, but are the called by God to be. Yeah. Beware of anything that competes with loyalty to Jesus Christ. The greatest competitor of devotion to Jesus is service for him. One aim of the call of God is the satisfaction of God. Not a call to do something for the ordinary human stuff, plus a dominating devotion to himself wrought by the Holy Spirit, be absolutely his. So it's not a call to do something, it's a call to be something. It's a call to be connected with somebody. And sometimes that's not how we do it. So we're called to him, we're called unto him. Now, it's also a purposeful call. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for flesh, but by love to serve one another." 1 Thessalonians 4, the first 7 verses. "Finally, brethren, we request you and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you, as you received from us instruction as how you ought to walk, so as to please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel more and more, for you know what commandments we gave you." He gave commandments. This is a teacher talking to people that he's instructed, and he says, "Oh, remember the commandments I gave you." And I thought, well, this was definitely not an American church, because we don't like to be commanded to do anything. Hello? I mean, that's true, isn't it? Like if you want a mocha and they say no, you've got to have a chai latte, and I command you to do it, you're not going to get your mocha. Well, we would revolt. I drink tea, so I would love the chai latte, but I want you to get this. He said, oh, don't forget the commandments I gave you. And they didn't consider that too abnormal. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. That each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. And then in verse 7 he says, for God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. So there's a purposeful call. One of the purposes of the call is that we walk clean. Now this in the Western world is so difficult with all the stuff, and the kids are being taught at such a young age such perverse stuff. And I told him yesterday in the prayer meeting, you know, the work of the spirit of the age is either to pervert the will of God or prevent the will of God. And if he doesn't do one, he'll try to do the other. And so everything, I mean, you can't, advertisements for Kleenex, you know, are based on cleavage. It's crazy. I mean, it's just a crazy, crazy world. But that's what sells Kleenex. I don't know if it was a Kleenex commercial, but everything. It doesn't have, you know what I'm saying? And I mean tissues. I'm not trying to bag at Kleenex, but... All I'm saying is the way we market things is very, very solicitous. So it's like you don't have to tempt people to buy ketchup. I mean, you know, it's just, but people pay money for what works. And so he's saying our call is to live differently than that. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved of the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through the sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this he called you through our gospel. It was for this he called you. Sanctification, which just means, he gets this, I'm going to read the verse, but he's going to take care of his spirit, soul, and body. That's what he's talking about. 2 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith, take hold of eternal life, the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Don't forget that it's eternal life you were called to. That it lasts forever. It begins as soon as we get saved, but it doesn't end down here. And the down here-ness of it is pretty difficult to deal with sometimes. And pretty hard to stay true to that call that's sanctification. And sanctification, you know, is a process and an event. It happens and then it continues to happen. Okay? So it's just, it's important that you realize that's not just like, it's not like an option. It's something we're called to. And wow. 2 Timothy 1, for this reason I remind you to rekindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and sound mind or discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in the suffering for the gospel according to the power of God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted to us in Christ from all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought about life and immortality to light through the gospel. He's trying to say, this being called thing is pretty important. It's impactful. It's powerful. And it's eternal. Romans 9, 23 and 24. And he did so, talking about winning our salvation, to make known the riches of his glory upon the vessels of mercy which he prepared beforehand for glory, even us, whom he also has called, not from among the Jews only, but from among the Gentiles. So he's saying he's opening it up for both. He's opening up this call to him, to all people. So it's a purposeful call, but it's a powerful call too. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore prepare your minds for action, keep sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought about at the revelation of Jesus. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which you were was yours in your ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in your behavior. If he could just say in in my purpose, that'd be different. But he says, no, in your behavior. Holy every day, Batman. That's behavior. And that's what he's saying. Wow. So there's a power in this. He's not expecting you to go out and do it on your own self-will. That's the purpose of the power of the Spirit of God living in us. This is the verse I just referred to, 1 Thessalians 5, 23-24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will do it or bring it to pass. So he's saying, I want you to be sanctified, spirit, soul, and body, and I'm faithful to pull it off. You are called unto me. Let's do this. We'll partner and we'll make it happen. It's not just, and if you don't, you know, God's up there with his cosmic fly swatter just ready to pop you. I mean, that's what some people think. That's not true. He said, no, spirit, soul, and body, I want to take care of you completely. I'm faithful to do it. Walk with me. Faithful is he who has called you, and he will do it. So it's not all on you. It's on him and you in partnership together. And he doesn't have a fly swatter, by the way. Just saying. I want people to know. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 32. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he's predestined, he has also called. And those whom he has called, he's justified. And those whom he has justified, he also has glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God's for us, who can be against us? So, well, all this calling thing, it's, you know, it's personal, it's purposeful, it's powerful. Well, how do I do it? It's in the partnership. It's in dependence upon him and recognizing who you are and what you have been called to. It's just super important that you recognize that this is not a heavy thing that he's put on you. This is an important thing that he's given to you. And I think that's we make a mistake sometimes. We try to make it everything on us, and that's not real or true. So it's not what I do that matters, but what a sovereign God chooses to do through me. God does not want worldly success. He wants me. He wants my heart in submission to him. Life is not just a few years to spend on self-indulgence and career advancement. It's a privilege, a responsibility, a stewardship to be lived according to a higher calling, God's calling. This alone gives true meaning to life. That's by Elizabeth Dole. Okay, we've been in 16 places in the Bible. And I sprayed Pam on my tongue. I went as fast as I could go. Here's the summary. His calling is not of works, but of the sovereign grace of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he's given in Christ Jesus before times. The call that comes from God is in Christ and through the gospel to the fellowship of his Son, to freedom, and not for uncleanliness, but in sanctification. It is therefore well designated the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, which is a heavenly calling. So when you talk about calling, well, what am I called to this? First of all, I'm called to him. And in that calling to him, I may be called to this or that or the other. And well, people say, well, yeah, but I'm not a preacher. Well, some people would say I'm not either. I would dispute the fact. But it's not so important. I didn't get saved a preacher. And I didn't get saved to become one, I guarantee. In fact, as I told God, I would do anything but this. Don't ever do that. But the issue is this. if you are called to him and you recognize the purpose of it and you recognize the power of it and you recognize how personal it is, it really doesn't matter what he tells you to do. It really doesn't matter what he calls you onto or into, because the issue's settled. Because when I went in, I said, I'm going off the high board in the deep end. I don't know anything else. Jesus. That was it. And that's all I really understood, was Jesus revealed himself to me personally. And I had no excuse. And I had no argument, even though I had big arguments before. I just said, yes, Lord. It's so funny. We're reading this poem that's so articulate, and it's, you know, seven paragraphs long, and they said, this is the convert's first prayer. And Scott was doing that, and he looked at me, and I said, my first prayer was, Lord, what the hell am I doing? And I think he did just what you just did, because I didn't know any better, and I didn't know anything else. But you know what? It's worked out pretty good since. You know, because I kind of understood this was me and him. I don't know how I understood, but I did. And I just had this thing in me that I'm going to be the last rat to jump off the ship. I'm not going to quit. And so far, maybe the best thing I've done is not quit. But I'm in the business of not quitting. You know? Why? Because of who's called me. So how do you measure success? By saying yes. He says, that's success. You said yes. Now we're in the partnership. We'll see where we go. So, Lord, thank you for being with us today. Lord, there's just a cleansing thing from hearing the scriptures. Thank you for that. And, Lord, I just want to pray. Wes said this very articulately. There's this big yes in us. And, Lord, we want to release that big yes to you, knowing that as we say yes to you, we get that power to resist everything that comes along and power to receive every blessing that you send, because there's a yes in our hearts. We say yes to you today. Lord, thank you that you are on the other end of this partnership to make it work. And we cause it to work in us today. In Jesus' name. Amen. I think we'll just quit right there and end that way today. Please remember to pray for people that are traveling. We've got a lot of people in our own family here traveling, and it's a big deal. We don't want anybody to turn out to be a headline, okay? So do that, and they will appreciate it and sense it. God bless you. Have a wonderful day tomorrow. It's the nation's birthday, and so do something great, do something fun, do something safe. Okay? We'll see. I'm not going to keep track. But thank you for being here. We'll do this again next week.